Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
I initially contacted a seamstress for simple alterations to a gown I already owned, but she insisted on designing my dream dress from scratch. Throughout the process, she was kind and seemed genuinely excited to help, which made me trust her. Little did I know that on my wedding day, she would transform from a helpful vendor into an uninvited wedding crasher. Whoa, okay. Overstaying her welcome and turning what should have been a beautiful day into a nightmare. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes. Thanks for joining me this week. This is the podcast that dives into the chaos, hilarity, and jaw-dropping moments of weddings, events, and so much more. We've kind of expanded our horizon when it comes to the stories you guys send me. We feature a lot of horror stories, some this or that, hot takes, and of course, some confessions. But this week's story will honestly shock you. We were pretty shocked when we read it. But before we get to that, I do have a couple of announcements. First things first, if you're following me on the socials, you've probably seen me talk about this, but I'm slowly changing my handle across the board. So I'm getting rid of Party Planning by Krista and moving into just Hey Krista Innes. I've made some announcements, but I just feel like as I'm writing another book right now and hopefully we'll write more in the future and kind of working on some other projects, Hey Krista Innes just fit a little bit better into what I'm putting out into the world and posting on my socials. Party Planning by Krista was great for the time being. I know a lot of you guys found me years ago when I started it, but I feel like it created some confusion because people always thought I was a full-time wedding planner, which I'm not. I never have been. I just did wedding help on this very side. You know, it was like a side hustle. I helped a lot of friends and family members. So I wanted to clear up the confusion as I move forward with my branding. And I just thought, hey, Krista Innes was a little more fitting. My goal, and a lot of you guys know this, but my goal is to just write more books. That's really where my creativity lies. I love being able to write and create for you guys. Of course, the skits are so much fun and it really allows those creative juices to flow. But as I kind of just picturing sharing more books with you guys and other projects, hey, Krista Innes just seemed to cover it a little bit better. But don't worry, like you're still gonna be getting the same content from me, same crazy wedding stories, drama, advice on boundaries, tips, all that good stuff. And then, of course, sharing these podcast clips. So look for me at Hey Krista Innes. If you're ever unsure if it's me, because there's a lot of accounts out there that like to steal content and pretend they're me, I don't care if people repost my content. But it's weird when they have like me as their profile picture because I'm like, that's something I never thought would happen as I started creating content. So if you ever have a question if it's me or not, on Facebook and Instagram, I am verified. So I have the blue check mark. It's gone through verification. You'll see a link in the bio. When you click on that, that's going to go to all of my correct platforms, as well as my website will go to all the correct platforms. So there's a lot of people out there that will post and pretend it's me. I've even heard of some accounts messaging people. I will never just message you out of the blue. So just make sure when you see my content that it's actually me. People report the stolen content, but I've yet to see any success. I think a couple pages have been taken down, but I don't know. But yeah, so exciting times, exciting changes. I've been thinking about it for a while. If you guys listen here regularly, I've toyed around with the idea of it. Party Planning by Krista just didn't seem to fit anymore. So yeah. Okay, one more announcement before I get to this episode. Next year, I am going to Greece and I want you to come. I was given the amazing opportunity from Trova Trip to host my first ever group trip. And I'm so excited. So many of you guys took the survey and told me where you would want to go, what your budgets would be, and the time of year, all that kind of stuff. So it was really great hearing from you guys first. And we narrowed it down to a location. So October 2026, we are going to Greece, more specifically the island of Crete. Here's just a little sneak peek into the itinerary. Day two, we're doing a Cretan wine tasting. Day three, Knossos Palace and City Walk. Day four, Mediterranean Sea Cruise. And trust me, there's a lot more, but I only have, as of the time of recording, which will be 2 weeks from now, I only have 8 early bird spots left. So if you want to be a part of this or get more information, click on the link in my show notes about Trova Trip and you can see the full itinerary dates. To hold your spot, you only need to put 25% down. So I would love to have you join me. It'd be so much fun to be able to travel and just hang out with the community. So that's one of the awesome benefits being able to do this. Maybe we'll film a skit while we're there. I don't know. The world's our oyster. Okay, on to today's episode. Joining me this week is the amazing Bailey Lavender. If you don't follow her, you need to go follow her. She is such a light. I love chatting with her. She is a hairstylist turned digital creator, still a hairstylist, just to be clear, whose hilarious storytelling and relatable content have earned her millions of followers. From viral salon stories to everyday mom life, she brings humor, honesty, and heart to everything she shares online. I love chatting with her. She's so real. She's so kind. And we read one of the most wild and shocking stories I think I've ever read about Evander. So without saying anything else, I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did. All right, enjoy. Hi, Bailey.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate you letting me on here.
Yeah, I was just saying before we started, it's so fun to be able to do this podcast and connect with people because like I've watched your content for so long and I love just seeing the different skit content out there. And I just feel like it's so entertaining. And I feel like people actually like learn a lot and take away a lot from it.
That was kind of my original plan was with the skits. It's like unintentionally teaching my clients and new people how I need them to act. And if they're not my client, maybe someone else will learn from this as well. And then it ended up being very relatable to a lot of people that weren't even in the hair industry, like some restaurant workers or retail workers or whatever. And I've really enjoyed it. And so now I don't have any horrible stories of my own anymore because I've already told all of them. So all of mine are sent in now from all like other people's stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny how it evolves, like when you first start creating content and then you're like, oh, people are really liking this, or this just popped up, so I'm going to share this. Because like I started just sharing like some wedding tips and stuff. And then I was sharing like things I've seen at weddings or experienced. And then I just did a skit one day about like wild, like it was like something, I don't even remember if I like saw it somewhere. People just love seeing the skit content because it's relatable and it's also helps, I think, with, like you said, with conversations and how to act in certain scenarios or what's okay and maybe what's not okay.
I agree.
Yeah. So before I get too far into that, can you just tell everyone a little bit about who you are, what you do, and then maybe a little bit more about your content as well?
So hi, if you don't know me, I am Bailey Lavender. I've been a hairstylist since I was 18. I just turned 31. I am based out of Shelby, North Carolina, but I was for a very long time in Greenville, South Carolina. I started doing hair skits right around COVID time. Like I feel like a lot of people hit the ground running with TikTok then. And it was at first just for entertainment purposes. I was a theater kid. And so I was just like, you know what? Let's have fun with this. I never expected anything to come of it. And then over time, I started catching a following. I started really enjoying myself. It was kind of therapeutic because I was telling stories of that I had gone through. And it was like the responses that I wish I had given, right? Instead of just being so meek and mild at the time. And so then it evolved to where I was considered a skit girl, right? Where I was only posting skits, but it started getting overwhelming because people didn't know me for who I was. And so I started sharing pieces of me and who I am and what my life looks like. And now I'm kind of a combo of many different things on my page. You'll see me doing hair transformations on new clients, me working on old clients and showing you their evolution of hair to being a mom now, or just my day-to-day life, relatable stuff. Once a month, typically, I'll throw in a skit, like a series, just because I really enjoy doing skits, but I don't want it to be my entire identity.
Yes, I love that. So what was that shift like for you, and how was the response? Because, I mean, there's times where I feel like when you start talking about like the skit identity, I kind of get that sometimes. And I feel like sometimes people think I work for them, and it's kind of stressful because like I'm a mom as well. And so it's like balancing that and balancing my job. And I'm just like, okay, I got to do a skit. And my husband's like, hi, I'm here too. So how was that like for you to kind of like switch a little bit to showing a little more you and personality? Like, how do people accept that or perceive that at first?
Some people didn't like it. And it was one of those moments where I had to reflect back and figure out what made me happy, right? And I was in the process of always looking for something negative someone would do around me, right? Either a client and really hone in on that and do a skit about it. It was me focusing on too much negativity in my life. And I'm a firm believer, if you look for negative, you're going to find it. Same with happiness, right? Or joy. And so I had to shift that for my own mental health because I was constantly looking for the negative. And so changing that, a lot of people were unhappy, but I was like, listen, for my own mental health, I have to change this up a little bit. And some people, like I said, they were in my comment section, like, jump, monkey, jump. You better hurry up and make me a skit. Otherwise, I'm not going to follow your stuff. And it was like, you know, listen, I'm a human and I have a job. I have a kid. At the time I didn't have a kid, but I have other things going on in my life. I want to share who I am, and I want you to get to know who I am outside of being a character on a screen for you. And some people didn't like it and they left and have never come back. Some people say, I've not seen your stuff in forever. I've missed your face. I'm so glad that you're doing so well. The ebb and flow of social media, you never really know what people are going to react like.
Yeah, but that's such a healthy boundary that you set too, where you're like, this is me and I need to protect my mental health, because it is so easy, I think, to get caught up in like the comments or what people say. And it kind of can take the joy out of it if you feel like you're then working for, instead of like one boss at a corporate job, you're working for hundreds and millions that are following you. And then you're like, okay, wait, but they said they like this. They said they don't like this. So I feel like that was really like so awesome of you to be like, wait, who am I? What's important to me? If I lose people along the way, that's okay. And I feel like ultimately you're going to have more people that are going to be interested in you because you're more true to yourself then.
I was doing skits, like I said, hardcore for a while. And then I had a friend that I lost due to mental health reasons. And in that time frame, I really started hitting the ground heavy of pushing mental health videos. And the views weren't even that great on it, but I didn't care. I wanted to make sure that it was helping a single person that mattered to me. Mm-hmm. And that kind of was my stepping stone into creating something that wasn't just drama filled, or it didn't have any like substance behind it. There's this. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed making that where it was like, I'm more than just a character. And that was like the stepping stone for me to see what else was out there within social media.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like it's really powerful. It's a good reminder too for people listening, because what I try to focus on too is like, I try to show like how to have good boundaries, like in skits and stuff. And you made an interesting point too about, you started off by saying, this is what things I wanted to say in certain scenarios, but maybe more like people pleaser, because that's me. I'm more like, I'm afraid to say things, you know, in person. I don't like conflict. So I feel like when I was getting these stories sent to me, I was like, I want to show brides like how they can have a safe and kind boundary and that it's okay. But I think it's good for them, for people listening to this too, to be like, in other areas of your life, like, okay, let's listen to my mental health and stay true to myself for sure.
Yeah. And I'm sure you get some crazy stories, because I have a few friends that they only work in the wedding industry, and the wedding world is even crazier, I feel like, than the salon world.
Yeah. When I first started this, I had just been like, I've been a bridesmaid like 10 times. My audience is probably sick of me saying that, but I've been on a lot of weddings, and then I was a bride myself. And then I've helped Dave coordinating, right? I saw some kind of crazy things or heard things, you know, that happen, nowhere near to the extent of the stories that people send me. And I just feel for these difficult relationships and like with in-laws or with cousins or whoever it is, siblings. So that's why I feel like I'm trying to like empower them in a different way. But it's hard. You get lost in the shuffle with all, I mean, there's so many stories that people tell. So it's kind of chaotic. So what kind of, like, I know you've gone viral for skits and hair transformations. What's one video that you put out that you're just like really proud of, or like something that people really resonated with, whether it's behind the scenes, your personal life, or hair?
I have an array of different things that I have been proud of when I posted on social media. One of them was me being able to finally share my adoption of my son. That resonated with a lot of different people. It was one of those proud moments because a lot of people had watched our journey of dating to getting married to wanting to grow our family, wanting to carry first and then adopt, because I am getting older and, you know, you start getting into where it turns into a geriatric pregnancies. Then when fertility just didn't seem like it was going to go our way, that's when we were like, all right, now to what we were going to do next, which was adoption. And it fell into our hands. And that was a beautiful experience, being able to share that with my followers, because so many of them were so encouraging, so kind. And of course, you get hate online. And I had the horrific messages from people as well, but the good outweighed the bad. And they were so kind, so uplifting. But I've also had like career achievements where I went from a girl who was working a salon who the owner hated me, and she genuinely made me want to leave the career altogether, to now where I am able to share where I'm going on to stages and teaching at these huge hair shows. And because of social media, I am able to, where I was terrified to post my own work behind the chair because it didn't look like some of my friends who are these vivid artists. Now they've encouraged me to post my work because I do good work. It's just not the same as theirs. It looks very different because they're doing rainbows where I'm doing lived in blondes. And so I was scared to post it, but because of my friends, I've surrounded myself because of social media, but also the followers that I have, when I meet them out in public, they like run up to me and they're so excited and proud of me for like something I recently posted, how it resonated with them. And it's more than a number. It's a community if you do it the right way.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love that there's such beauty in social media and connection. And like you said, growing that community, because it's so easy to feel alone in certain aspects of your life, or like career, parenthood, how you do things. I feel like there's always someone that's going through something similar or can relate or resonate in some way. And I think that's truly the beauty of it. And like you said, you started all of this during 2020, COVID, things were rough. We didn't really know what the future was going to look like. I feel like a lot of people found connection through that time through social media. And it saved, I think, a lot of people being able to be like, okay, here's my new community. We're going to make this work.
Well, because at the time we weren't allowed to connect. And as a hairstylist, I'm used to seeing many different people in my chair in just a singular day. And then going to feeling isolated and was training my dog, and that was about it. Like, I felt very alone in that time. And so social media, it was my therapy at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to lean into like what's going to make you feel better and allow you to connect. And I feel like connection is such a powerful thing. And I'm sure you can say with motherhood too, that's such a powerful thing. Before I did this, I worked for a motherhood brand. And that was like one of the things I always helped was grow communities with moms, because it can be so isolating. If you're in like a rough spot and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm the only one that's dealing with potty training or whatever it is. But it's like the second you text a friend or like someone, talk to someone in your community and you're like, hey, this is what's going on. They're like, that exact same thing happened to me. You're okay, mama.
I have a friend, Meg, Mermeg here, and she had her baby almost 9 months exactly after Caden was born. And it's very sweet and funny to me because she'll hit these milestones and every so often she'll call me and she's like, is this normal? And I'm like, yeah, baby, we did that. We're good. You're good. No worries. Or she'll be teething or something new will happen and she'll call and she'll be worried that it's abnormal or she's not supposed to be hitting those milestones or whatever at the time. And like you said, the camaraderie of like finding people, not just that have been through raising a child, but are going through it currently with you. Mm-hmm. It makes a huge difference. I have a friend that she actually will be giving birth tomorrow. She's getting induced. And through her pregnancy, she's not done it, but I really wanted her to post her story because her story, I'm not going to get into it, it's her story to tell, but her story is very different. And I wanted her to share her story because she felt so alone. Yeah. I'm like, no, I want you to share it because there are so many people that will relate with you. And I've never been through it, but I know that if you get it out there, you're going to help someone else. And you're going to feel better about it.
Yes, 100%. That's someone I used to work with had a very rare set of twins. When she was pregnant, they were called mono twins. And which means, I think it means they're, someone's probably going to correct me on this, but I want to say they're both born in the same sac and they share the same umbilical cord. I can't remember, but it's very rare. It's like one out of like 100,000 or something crazy, right? And I remember her like telling me about it. She like came on and talked about it. And when we posted, it was like a community of like mono twin moms commenting. And it was just like, I think all 10 in the last 10 years were like found it somehow through search because they're like, oh, I'm able to connect with someone. And it's such a powerful tool, I feel like, in all aspects of just connection in the right way, like you said.
Yeah. Well, twins in general are so interesting to me. If you've heard of like twin telepathy and all the things, I genuinely think twins are so cool. And then there is like tiny little, I don't know the correct word for it, but like different divisions of twins. And their different connections and how they like relate with each other and how they can be in different spots and know the other one, something's wrong with the other one. It's just, it's cool. That is a neat little story.
It's so interesting. Yeah. To hear that and to connect in that way. Okay. Going into your expertise in hair. Let's talk about like current like styles. What's one hair transformation that you, I know you said you like the relaxed
lived in blonde.
Lived in blonde. That speaks to me because I'm like, I'm so bad with getting my hair done. I just went for the first time last week after a year. I love the lived in blonde. What's like a current trend that you're loving with hair? Or what do you think as a piece of advice that all people should know when it comes to their hair? Not to put you on the spot. I know it's
kind of... So I actually, this one's going to speak to hairstylists. I got one that I love about hair right now and one that I hate about hair right now.
Okay.
A lot of, I'm going to start with the hate. A lot of people within the hair industry are seeing where we're going through a recession right now, right? And they are leaning into that and deeming a certain hair trend, which is like a low maintenance blonde, the recession blonde. I hate that terminology with a passion because it makes it feel negative to me. That's my personal opinion. It makes it feel negative to me. I never want any of my clients to feel like I'm pushing a service onto them because they can't afford it. I'm not in their wallet. If they can afford it, absolutely. I can tell them the reasons of why I think a service will be best for them, but because our economy is not at the best point right now is not one of those reasons. Mm-hmm. And I cannot stand that terminology. Love, on the other side, I love that a lot of people are starting to embrace what they want to do. For so long, I heard so many of my clients say the terminology of like, well, my husband prefers XYZ. And of course, I get people want to like make their spouse like happy. I fully understand that. But there's starting to be more of this independency of if I feel good, my spouse will love me. End of story, period. They married me for me and this is going to make me happy. And so many people, and kudos to the spouses that encourage their partners to do what makes them happy. I'm seeing more and more of that. And I genuinely feel like it's making a change in relationships between hairstylist client and the client and their spouse.
Yes. Then they can probably leave feeling so much better too. Like, oh, I'm not just checking a box of like what they like to see me in. I feel like that applies to like wedding stories too. I've seen too so many times that brides write in, they like do something that like, oh, what will so-and-so, what does so-and-so want to see? And I think one thing we're getting better at, and I don't know if it's like a millennial thing or what, but getting better at like, no, this makes me feel good. I'm going to do this for me. And it's not selfish. It's because I deserve it. I deserve to feel just as good as that person does. So I love that. So
I've seen, which you probably see this as well, but since being a hairstylist, I talk to a lot of different people about they're going to someone's wedding or they're planning a wedding. And I don't do wedding hair myself currently. I'm thinking about getting back into it because I have a friend who does it and she makes it look enjoyable. I see a lot of people that are going to weddings. And for a super long time, a lot of brides required everyone to look identical. Mm. And unfortunately, trying to make everyone look identical, no one did. And it threw everything off. Bridesmaids were not feeling beautiful in their dresses because it wasn't made for them or their hairstyle that doesn't work for their face. Or you could just tell they felt off or icky in their own skin when you want that person to feel gorgeous on a day that you're celebrating all together. And I'm seeing more and more of these brides be like, no, this is my wedding day, but I still want you to feel beautiful. And they're like, just be like, hey, find a dress that makes you feel pretty within this color palette or within this style. wear your hair exactly how you want, but just don't wear it exactly like mine. There's way more leniency in the bridal world, equaling out with the hair world. It's creating this inclusivity that I'm loving.
Yes, I know. I love it so much because some of the earlier weddings I was in, it was like a uniform. Like you put on this dress and it's like, it's fine. We all match exactly. Luckily, I don't think I've ever been in one where we had to match the hair and dress, but it's like dress and shoes exactly. But I've seen a lot of weddings where it's like hair has to all be an updo. Mm-hmm. Hair has to be like this. And it's like, what if that doesn't look good on me or I don't feel like myself? I've been seeing more and more like pick any dress in this color family or pick any dress from this website. And I'm like, I love that too, because we're all different. We all have different body types. And I just feel like you want your people up there to feel comfortable in their own skin too.
One of my friends a few years ago, she had a wedding and she did the style where like she has the color and the style that she wants, but the how it's constructed, you get to choose as a bridesmaid. She just wanted everybody in something a little different than one another. And I didn't fully understand it at the time because when she was getting married, it was kind of abnormal for that. And then looking at every single bridesmaid, there was me who is tall. There was another girl who is short. There's one who had extreme chest, right? Like very big compared to mine. And I was in like a strapless dress. And she, looking at her, I was like, strapless dress would not have looked good on you. Or not even not look good. It would have not felt good on her.
Yeah.
And it was one of those moments that was eye-opening to me of like, you care about every single person in your wedding party, not just about your day.
Yes, 100%. You want your people to feel just as good as you do. And I've seen the weddings where it's like, they're put all in this form-fitting strapless dress and everyone's just there. And like, you can tell when people don't feel comfortable, but they're just going to like suck it up. And yeah, I did something similar at mine. It was like any of the mauve like shades they could pick. And some did strapless, some did lower cuts, some did shoulder like sleeves. And I knew everyone has their own insecurities and their own favorite parts of their body that they can just, they want to accentuate. Same with like hair and makeup too. I was like, do what you want with your hair and makeup, get it done or don't. I don't care. I want you to feel like you. So I feel like that pressure too, in some ways. I know there's some very extreme wedding industry where it's like, you still got to do follow my uniform. But I do see, I feel like overall, you're right about that.
And I think it truly is based upon who you're friends with, right? Where you understand your friends, you understand if someone is extremely type A and they want something a specific way and they have to have that vision their entire life. None of my friends are that way because I am not that kind of person and I struggle to be a type A. And a lot of times the weddings that I see, they're all the type A bride. They're all kind of that way. So it works. Like I've seen brides that they have, I mean, down to time frame of when they're eating breakfast and when they're brushing their teeth type of schedule.
Uh-huh.
And all of their bridesmaids work that way. And so it works for their wedding.
Yes.
Where any wedding I've ever been in, it's not formulated like that because I don't have friends like that because I am a bad friend to a type A person.
Yes. No, I totally get that. Yes, knowing your friends is key. But I always say in like a lot of these bridesmaid stories I get where I'm like, if it's not communicated ahead of time or you feel like you're being asked of something that is out of your comfort zone, you can decline. It's okay to decline and just be like, this is not the right. I'd rather come as a guest or vice versa. Like if it's just not a good match, it's okay. I know there's sometimes hurt feelings, but I feel like it's better to just be like, you know what? I'd rather just support you and be there as a guest. And I don't want to spend all, you know, thousands of dollars on a bachelorette with all new clothes or, you know, whatever that ask is and have those boundaries for sure.
Yeah. I was asked to be in a wedding a few years ago and I had to have the very uncomfy conversation with her that she took phenomenally because like I said, I'm very picky about the people I have around me. Mm-hmm. And she wanted me to do hair for the wedding, but then she also wanted me a bridesmaid. And I was like, listen, I would love to do one or the other, whichever one you prefer me to be in, I will do, but I cannot do both because she had like a ton of bridesmaids. And I was like, I can't enjoy your day if I'm on the clock. So I can do your hair and mine and be a bridesmaid, or I can do everybody's. So you're going to have to choose.
I love that you said that because that relates to a lot of the stories that we've gotten to where it's like people will ask someone that's already a part of the wedding or a family member will come in and be like, I'll be your photographer. And they also want to be a guest. They also want to be the aunt. And it's like, just be either a friend that day, family member, or be a vendor. It's hard to do all things and really, because you hear about the photographer where it's like then they don't get the photos, or it's like they're distracted talking to somebody, so they're not taking the photos. So I think it's a lot. Yeah, that was such like a good way to communicate that.
I think it's important, not only as someone who gets to be able to attend such a special day, that you pay attention to what your goal is in that moment, right? Is my goal to support her, because I was there for the bride, is my goal to support her on the wedding day as a bridesmaid, or because those are two vastly different things, and I have to show up in the best way for her that day. So if you're a photographer that day, you better be making sure you're giving her the best photos of her entire life, because this is an important day, or the bridesmaid, or whatever it is. I believe on an important day, you have to show up wholeheartedly for what they're asking of you. And if you don't, then you're letting them down. And I refuse to let people down like that.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. That's great advice. I feel like a lot of times too, we want to be able to do it all for our friends. We say, yes, yes, yes. But in the long run, that could actually hurt them or hurt who you are as like whatever job they're asking you to do. You can't do it all. It's just not possible. And you can be a better friend by being this or this. Okay. I want to do, before we get to the main story that we're going to react to, and we're going to do a little this or that. It's a red flag versus green flag. So I'm going to read a statement and you're going to tell me if it's a red flag or green flag. I think most of the time they're pretty obvious, but some we'll toy back and forth with. Okay, here we go. Your future mother-in-law gets her hair styled almost identical to yours, and the guests keep complimenting her bridal look.
I think it's a green flag. I find it to be a compliment that you want my same hairstyle, but some people may differ.
I think that's a very good way to look at it too, because like I get along with my mother-in-law so well. She has better style than I do. She's so good with that stuff. So I wouldn't take it personally or take it offensively either.
Yes.
I said the white dress thing. I'm like, if my grandma, my mom, or my mother-in-law came in a white dress, I would not have been mad. I would not have cared.
See, like you said, I have a phenomenal relationship with my mother-in-law. But I also know that just because if we do the same hairstyle, it's going to look different on her than it does on me. She found inspiration. I mean, that's what the internet is, the Pinterest. If you get on Pinterest, you're going to probably copy something that someone else has done because you think it's beautiful. I don't think it's bad.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. The photographer insists on group photos now, but one bridesmaid refuses because her hair is only halfway done.
That's complicated because of course I would want mine to be done. So I feel like that's a green flag. She doesn't want to ruin the bride's pictures.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I would want to start if my bridesmaid wasn't done.
I feel like that's the bridesmaid looking out for the bride. You can wait 5 more minutes to let this be finished so that she can get her perfect pictures.
Yeah. I feel like that's when a day of coordinator or wedding planner needs to come in and say, hey, photographer, we're going to wait 5 more minutes.
You can go, let's go do this instead. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Because I feel like too, a good day of coordinator or a good photographer will know how to quickly move around if like, oh, something's going to take a little bit longer instead of forcing someone to be halfway done. I would never want that for my bridesmaids. The DJ plays the wrong song for your first dance, and instead of fixing it, he just keeps going.
That's a red flag because it happened to me.
It did?
It did. Oh, so no. I've been married twice. At my first wedding, we had the whole shebang, and the DJ, it was a rarity that a single song that was played correctly happened. And so I got mad and was like, why are we even paying this man? We should have just played a Spotify playlist at this point. And so I say red flag.
Oh my gosh, what did you guys do? Did you guys stop and then like be like, hey, can you?
Oh, because I didn't want anybody else to know he was messing up. It was my day.
Oh,
like I thought it right.
You're so nice. I just saw a video where this happened. This girl posted about like their DJ experience. I can't remember the account name now, but there was 3 different times. So during the ceremony, they're like literally doing their vows and he just starts blasting a song. And then during their cake cutting, he plays like a completely different song and they're like about to like do the switch or whatever. And she just stops. She's like, this isn't the song. And she's like, I wasn't afraid to say no, because by this point, it kept being like wrong place, wrong time music. So
good for her. I was not a confrontational person at the time. My walking down the aisle, wrong song. Flower Girls, wrong song. First Dance, wrong song. Daddy Daughter, wrong song. I'm telling you, it was a rarity that the right song was played.
Oh my gosh. And you just like went with it. You're just like, here we go.
Because my aunt at the time was a wedding coordinator, and she and I had a very real conversation of, it is a rarity that you will have everything go right on your wedding day. Yes. It is not about the wedding day. It is about the marriage. Mm-hmm. And if you harp on this now, then everything will just be wrong because you're going to live in the negative. So just let it go and keep going with your beautiful day.
Yeah. No, that's such a great point because I feel like, and I get mixed reviews in the comments when I say stuff like this, not like you're causing more drama, but if you like stop everything or you stress about one thing not going exactly right, it is going to weigh on you. And then you're going to be thinking about it. And then you're going to think about, how did I react to that? Or did someone see that? Or, you know, like that's how my brain works anyways. If I do like put my foot down or say something, I'm like, did I come off rude? Oh my gosh, was there a picture? Was I doing something that I wouldn't normally say? So yeah, and even like these like relationship or drama things that happen at weddings. Again, I got very lucky. I haven't experienced that. I did not experience it at my own wedding. But some of these scenarios, I'm like, for certain things, I would just let it go on that day. Be in your wedded bliss. Ignore the little chatter that's maybe happening or someone that's being negative because you don't want it to take away. Otherwise, you're going to just weigh on you. And you're just going to be thinking about it when you think about your wedding day.
And also back to your friends surrounding you. I am big on at both of my weddings. I had the people that are most important to me that know me the best surrounded around me. And there was moments that something would go wrong and I could lean to one of them and say, da 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 da, something's not right, blah, blah, blah. And they would go handle it. They would go do it. And same for when I've been in weddings, there has been stepmothers sit in mother's seats on the wedding day that was not okay. Like they were not close with the stepmother. Mm. And one of the bridesmaids went up there and handled it. And then they went back and got into line and we went on. But and the bride and groom or whoever's getting married, not just bride and groom, but whoever's getting married, they should just have a day of bliss. And if something goes wrong, someone else handle it or just let it be.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. All right. Next one. The groom disappears with his friends for almost an hour during the reception while guests are left waiting.
Red flag.
I would say red flag.
Red flag.
Bride insists on a second outfit change, but doesn't tell anyone, leaving the reception paused for 45 minutes.
Girl, you need to practice this. Come on. I get things go wrong. It's hard to get in and out of dresses. But like, if you guys are wanting a dress change of some sort, plan it properly. Don't let people go hungry. Don't let people go be questioning what's going on. Have something to distract them. If it's going to take you a while to get out of your dress, whatever it is. Yes. Plan accordingly because a lot of people are there to celebrate you. And if you disappear, they're like, what's happening?
Yes. There's always got to be something going on. So if you disappear for a little bit, have music started or have appetizers out, whatever that is. Because yeah, I just read a story where a girl said her and her groom or partner, they went for photos, but they didn't tell anybody and the photographer didn't tell anybody. So the parents thought they left and then they left. And I'm like, how? How did they just go, oh, I guess the wedding's over. We're just going to go home. Like, I don't know how that happens, but let's communicate. Let's not just leave.
Just let somebody be the designator communication person, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Just communicate with everybody. They're there to celebrate you and your partner and your next life experience. There are people around you. I'm very dramatic. So a lot of my people, if I came out, was like, hey, I want an outfit change so I can actually dance. Give me a minute. Love y'all. Have a great time. Bye.
Right. Yeah. And then they would just know. And like time goes fast at weddings. Like they would know. But if they're just like sitting there hungry, waiting, they're just going to be like, okay,
what has happened? Yes.
Yeah. People don't like not knowing. I feel like if people are fine waiting, if they just know what's going on.
Exactly. Some people have gotten babysitters and they are confused of what's happening. They feel like you're dragging your feet or something has happened. And they're like, listen, time's crunching here. I got to get back to my kid or got to do something else. And they've taken time out of their day to be there for you. Respect them enough to also inform them of what's going on.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Okay. A parent gives a toast that includes embarrassing childhood stories the couple begged them not to share.
That's a red flag because my family, we do that out of love, unless it's like something bad. And we're like, no, please don't do that. But we giggle at the fact that it is still told, right? We know the ones that are going to be told. And so I feel like that one's a wishy-washy one for me because it depends on the family dynamic. It depends on the friend dynamic and it depends on what kind of story it was.
Yes, totally. I feel like there's so many, it's a big spectrum of like yeah. What's acceptable and what's not. It's like your relationship with the parent. I feel like maybe your sense of humor. Cause yeah, I feel like our best man in our wedding is hilarious. He said so many jokes. And I'm like, if anyone else would have said some of those, like that maybe we weren't close with, obviously they wouldn't have been at the wedding. But you know what I'm saying? Like if it's something we weren't close with, that would have been kind of weird. But like, because he's funny and we're like, say whatever you want, everyone was cracking up. I feel like it's knowing your audience and like the relationship too of what's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just some people don't have those cues. So I don't know.
Yes. I've been at a wedding before with my dad where someone got on stage and they got hold of a microphone and you could tell that they were not instructed to do so. And my dad, he's a very large man and he knew the man. And so he got up there and took the mic from him and just was like, it is so good that we've heard from him tonight. Everybody clap for him. And it was just like one of those moments I was like, go dad. Thank you for saving this wedding.
That
and
is-
I think it's, again, I keep coming back to this, who you surround yourself with.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Oh my gosh. People, he needs to be like at weddings where things might happen because the number of stories I've heard or I've seen them, people just pass the mic around and it's like an hour later waiting on dinner and you're like, why are we still doing speeches? And it's just random.
And they're saying the same things over and over. We're so excited. Please write it down on a card. We want to have fun. We're going to DJ for a little bit longer. I want to dance.
Yes. We've got an end time we want to get to. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Hey, drama lovers, big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to KristaEnnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself. Okay, let's get into this week's blind story reaction. These are wedding stories that are sent to me. So here we go. I've not read it either. I initially contacted a seamstress for simple alterations to a gown I already owned, but she insisted on designing my dream dress from scratch. Throughout the process, she was kind and seemed genuinely excited to help, which made me trust her. Little did I know that on my wedding day, she would transform from a helpful vendor into an uninvited wedding crasher. Whoa. Okay. Overstaying her welcome and turning what should have been a beautiful day into a nightmare. Okay. She was supposed to help me into the dress and leave once I was ready, but she completely ignored my clear instructions. I told her several times she was free to go, yet she lingered as if she were on the guest list. It felt like she had no concept of boundaries or any awareness that she wasn't supposed to be there. My friends who were there to help me get ready kept complaining about her presence because she constantly inserted herself into everything. In her mind, she may have thought she was helping, but all she did was interfere and rob my friends of their roles in supporting me. After the ceremony, things only got worse. She repeatedly pulled me aside to fix the dress, dragging me away from guests and photos. Ooh, I don't know how I would react to this. What are your thoughts so far?
So it's a double-edged sword because I understand the being prideful of the dress that she created and wanting to be there to experience it. But in reality, it's not your day. Ask for photos, ask if you can take pictures or whatever. That is tough because ultimately I think my family would have just been like, hey, thank you for coming. You can leave. But also as a hairstylist, I have been invited to a wedding to do hair before. And there was no clear instructions of if they wanted me to stay and fix their hair throughout the night, or if it was time for me to go. And so I had to just blatantly ask, what do you want of me? Because some people want you to stay to do a hair change from ceremony to reception. But if they don't know, that gets tricky. But a lot of people assume that the person does know. But also you never take a bride away from a conversation unless they're giving you the look of helping.
Yes. Yeah. And it's hard because it sounds like she just assumed this girl would just know what to do. This woman would know what to do. And it's hard. You don't want to be like, okay, your end time is this time. Once the dress is on, you can go. Unless maybe she did say that and the woman still stayed. But yeah, it's hard because I know even as like a day of coordinator, there's been times where like pretty much once the dances start, I'm like free to go. But there's been times where I'm also invited as a guest. They're like, oh, stay for dinner, stay for dancing after. And then depending on how close I am, I usually will just see myself out because I'm like, I'm not family member or close friend. I'll just let them enjoy their day. Other times I'll stay for dinner and I'll like hang out. But it's knowing where you like fit in and where you like don't fit in.
And then also from how it sounds, it doesn't sound like the bride was like, hey, I would love for you to come to my wedding and spend the day there. And that is one thing that's like, I would never assume that I was invited. And that is wild to me. On top of the fact that like, I've never heard of a seamstress or wedding dress designer bringing the dress to the venue.
Yeah, I was shocked by that too. I didn't know if that was like a common thing because I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of it. Maybe if you've ever come across this, anybody watching this, please let us know because that is wild to me.
Yes.
I've had so many brides. They go a week or two before. If it's normally brides like it done before then, but at least a week or two before they get their dress and then they have it hanging in their closet where a bridesmaid or a mother of the bride or groom has it. And then they bring it to the venue, but I've never heard of a seamstress being there.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there was like some kind of connection with the seamstress, like a family friend or something, or like there's some connection.
That would make it complicated.
Yeah. Cause then she's like, oh, I'm going to carry this with pride because they're all going to see this dress that I made. And then I need to make sure it's perfect in every photo. And I need to help her get dressed and make sure it's everything. But like I was just saying before, I was like, I've been to and been a part of so many weddings. And even when the bride has an outfit change, they like do it themselves, or like a mom helps them or a bridesmaid, never the seamstress.
Well, because it's an important moment. Like so many women want that picture of their mom lacing them up, their sister or whoever like is important in their life, helping them get ready, putting their shoes on, fixing their train, the hand placements. It sounds so silly, but so many women, you know, the important people in your family or friends or whoever, you know what their hands look like. And years down the road, when you're looking back at those photos and you see their hands, they may no longer be here. It matters to you.
Mm.
And she took that from her.
Yeah. Yeah. That would really, I feel like, really bother me. That might be, I always say like, there's always a moment, and even people pleasers, I always say I'm a recovering people pleaser, but there's always that moment where it's like, it's gone too far. And I feel like if it were something like that on my wedding day, I'd be like, I would really like my friends here to be able to do this. Here's the ex. I don't know. I don't think I would do that, but I'm like, it's so hard to like put yourself in that position. Yeah. Like, how would I handle this?
See, and again, back to the people you surround yourself with. I keep harping on this, but like my family and my friends would have pulled me aside and been like, did you ask for this? And if I gave them a face of no, then they're like, don't worry about it. I've got it. And they would just gone and handled the situation. But again, we don't know all of it. We don't know if she was a family friend where they didn't feel comfortable doing that because they didn't know the depths of their relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so she pulled her away from guests and photos. It was as if she was determined to be a part of every moment, completely oblivious to how disruptive and intrusive she was being. She had no self-awareness whatsoever. To make matters even more offensive, she made rude comments about my husband's race. Okay, so now she's just a rude person.
Absolutely not.
Would not fly.
No. Okay. That I can see a lot of things in a lot of different perspectives. I can see where you're wanting to be there for the dress. You're wanting to try to be helpful. Maybe you have overstepped and you don't understand personal boundaries. That is a hard stop.
Yeah. That would be absolutely no. You're being escorted at this point.
That part. You no longer get the first comment, you're out.
Yeah. This is your client. If you're making that comment about your clients, I can only imagine what you're saying behind the scenes. So yeah, no, not going to fly. When I expressed that I was stressed, she told me it was my own fault for DIYing my wedding. I was floored. The audacity and lack of empathy was shocking. Her behavior was not just unprofessional. It was downright inappropriate. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is way worse than I thought. When we got our wedding photos back, my heart sank. She had her phone in my face and countless pictures, ruining moments that should have been timeless. I would be so upset. I feel so bad for this bride.
I have a friend who she only does wedding photography. And the amount of hate that she gets sometimes from other people that are in weddings because she's like, hey, I need you to move to the side, or hey, put down your phone, or hey, it's supposed to be a phoneless ceremony because she's paying me for these photos because she likes the way I do things and she's not wanting them. And the amount of times that she's posted where you can see a phone completely disrupting a photo that would have been, like you said, timeless and would have hung it in their bedroom forever or in their living room forever. And now because of a phone, it's there. Yeah. Ruined. Oh,
yeah. I know. That's terrible. I know. It's like the people that always think their phone's going to get the better job of the photographer. And it's like, no, they are trained professional with a camera. Let them do their job. I know. I've been to weddings where it's like, put your phones away. And there's still people taking photos, holding up their iPads or whatever it is. And it's like, just put it away. Take a photo later. Pull them aside if you need to. But
get little like one-offs from like when you're sitting at the table at dinner and the setting is stunning and beautiful. Get your own little like point of view picture and send it to her or put it in an album for them to look at later if they're wanting some like B-roll type of content. But let the photographer or the videographer, or have you heard of wedding content creators?
I have.
I just heard about this week and I was like, that is phenomenal. Good for these people like making a new like avenue for income. But because I've always thought about that, it's like these brides, they don't want to play on their phones, and bridesmaids are doing 1,000 other things. And now there's wedding content creators that go to weddings to get B-roll content for these brides. Phenomenal.
Yes.
But do that. Don't think that your iPhone is going to be better than the camera or the editing style that the bride or groom or whoever is paying for this wedding wanted.
Yeah, it's definitely knowing what you are hired for and what you're there to do and be done with the job. Because like, even as a day of coordinator, like the last wedding I worked in the morning before the photographer came, it was part of like our contract, our calls. I was like, I'll take like behind the scene photos when you guys are getting makeup done, because I knew the photographer wasn't going to get there until noon. So I was like, I'll do that before they come. As soon as the photographer came, I was like, my phone's away. You don't need me. Surely you don't need this iPhone. And even when I was like taking pictures of like just stuff around, I was like very cautious about like, I did it before anyone was like in a setting just to take pictures of behind the scenes. And even then I'm like, phone should be away. As a vendor, it's not your job. Unless you're a photographer, but.
Well, also, if you think about it from the person's whose wedding you're at, right? Bride, groom, whoever. If you see this, it looks rude. It looks like you're not present for their most important day, but extremely important day to them. You could be looking through these pictures that you just took because you think that they're phenomenal and you can't wait to send them, but they are going to remember how you were on your phone at their important day.
Yeah.
And that'll stick with them.
Oh, 100%. Yes. No, I totally agree. It's the fact that I feel like she was so into her phone and what she was going to be able to bring home or post to her website that she was like, I don't care about this bride.
It's selfish.
100%.
I'll never get over the selfishness that goes into so many people that weddings, I feel like they forget that it's somebody's important day. Someone is dedicating their life to someone else. Like, it's beautiful. And so many people see, what can I get out of this?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's where a lot of these stories stem from, is people either can't celebrate someone else, can't allow the limelight to be on somebody else, or they're just thinking about their own like selfish gain, especially like, because I don't normally get vendor stories. Every once in a while I get a story that's from a vendor or about a vendor, but it's very slim. Usually it's like more family or friend, bridesmaid stuff. So when I get something like this, it's just like, you're supposed to be the professional.
Because so many vendors go into wedding vending in any way, shape, or form because they love weddings. They love the beauty of it and the stress that comes with it because it's high intensity and they enjoy it and they love making it a stress-free day as much as possible. And then family and friends sometimes come in with the right intentions, but unfortunately, some of them are there just to ruin someone's day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's so unfortunate. So it says, even worse, oh no, she positioned herself in front of the photographer as I walked down the aisle.
Not that she's making me mad. Like, everything new, I'm getting more and more heated.
I'm sorry. You're like, in the beginning, you're like, I'm being more positive. And I'm like, here's some drama. How do you feel?
I'm angry.
We're going to like do a meditation after this.
Yes.
I know, because I'm like, photographer, I'd be like, who are you? Get out of my way.
So also what I'm hearing is that girlfriend did not have a seat. So you should have known, get out, leave. Yes. It's time for you to go.
Yeah, you got to go. Because of that, I have no unobstructed photos of that once in a lifetime moment. Oh my gosh, that would make me so mad. Despite my explicit request for an unplugged ceremony and my clear instructions that she could only post photos of the dress without tagging me, she uploaded a video of my husband crying as I walked down the aisle. Seeing such a raw, personal moment shared online without my consent was devastating. So yeah, she's doing it for her own personal gain, for her own business.
And are we going to talk about the fact that she's going to upload a video of a man loving his now wife that you wanted to make racial comments about?
Mm-hmm.
No, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah. This woman has no, she's there just to get photos to help her own business and does not care about anyone else at this point.
Mm-mm. That is disgusting behavior.
Ugh. When I left her a negative review, I was going to ask, or I was going to see if she left a review, calling out her unprofessionalism, she didn't apologize. Instead, she harassed me, responding by trashing my friends. Not once did she take responsibility. I'm guessing now it's not a family friend because there's no connection here, I don't think. Not once did she take responsibility or show an ounce of remorse for how she ruined my day. I want to know who this is. She should share her story on TikTok. Now my husband and I are planning a separate photo shoot because of our wedding photos being ruined by her constant interference. What should have been the happiest day of my life is now clouded by frustration and disappointment, all because she couldn't respect basic professional boundaries. If I've learned anything from this, it's that even the kindest seeming vendors can cross the line and derail your day. I trusted her with something precious and she abused that trust, leaving me with memories I'll never be able to fully get back. Oh, that makes me so sad.
This is where them type A brides have it right. The ones that give you way too much information. They're like, girl, of course I'm going to leave whenever you need me to. Or of course you don't have to worry about telling me that. Duh. Mm-hmm. They got it right because they know that there is a possibility that something goes awry like this. And they're making sure they handle it beforehand.
Yeah. That's why I always think it's like, there's always rules for things because someone has broken it or someone has done something like this, you know, and it's like, it sucks because the reason there are so many like strict brides or brides that are like this is because of stuff like this, but then they get called a bridezilla and it's like, no, like being firm with your boundaries does not make you a bridezilla.
It's you understanding what could go awry. I mean, it's similar to like, I put the outlet covers over my outlets because there's a possibility that my son puts his finger in it and electrocutes himself, you know? But they're prepping themselves to make sure there is nothing that goes wrong and that they don't have to stress on their wedding day because they stressed before.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I feel like it's so easy to like read these stories and be like, this is what I would have done. But it's hard in those moments of like, especially like we were talking about earlier, it's like you wanted to be in your wedded bliss. You don't want this drama to affect you. But she also didn't let it affect her. And then she saw the pictures.
Yeah.
And so it's like at that point, it's like, should she have been, but she probably didn't notice at that point. She was so in the moment and she probably didn't notice this woman, her phone's out in front of my photographer. You're just expecting the photographer to do their job. They're fine. And that sucks that happened. I feel so bad.
I don't know about anyone else, but on my wedding days, it was such a blur because there was so much going on. I had 1,000 things running through my brain that the photos and the videos mattered the most to me. Or like outside of getting married, but because I knew that I was going to forget important moments or miss important moments.
Yes.
And when you obstruct those or you ruin a day that the bride remembers nothing but the negative things that you did on such an important day, that matters.
Yeah.
And honestly, you should take accountability. And I'm so sorry. Like that was never what I wanted for your wedding day. It was something.
Yeah. I think some of these vendors like that I've seen like in different TikToks, drama stories or something that don't take accountability. They don't realize they're making it so much worse for their business. Because there's a current TikTok drama going on right now that I saw. Someone just tagged me in it. Basically, it's a caterer situation. I don't know the whole story, but the caterer kind of ruined her wedding day. Like certain things that she had set up and planned. She like put the cake topper through the cake instead of like putting it at the top. So it like actually like broke the cake in half. They didn't pull it out ahead of time to like defrost. So it was like rock hard. So her husband and her couldn't even take bites of the cake. So she's trying to like just act like it's fine. There was like a list of things. And I guess the person that she worked with all along didn't even come to the wedding. It was another person. And then they kept saying, we won't help you or talk to you until you remove your review. So I'm like, now she's telling everyone on TikTok because you're not helping her. So now everyone knows who this person is because they're just unwilling to help. And I'm like, if you just fix it and apologize, yes, some things cannot be fixed. Like obviously the photographer, the photos can't be fixed, but they're going to make it so much worse where no one's going to go to them because instance.
Because in reality, if one person has had that such horrible experience, they're comfortable doing it. So someone else who may have had at least a little bit of that same kind of person from them, right? Because they are so comfortable with so much unprofessionalism. Because, I mean, obviously, she probably did a good job on her dress if she allowed her to make it from scratch. So yeah. This is not her first rodeo of making a wedding dress. So who else has also struggled with this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes me wonder if other people had issues in the past, or if maybe the seamstress typically is not invited to do an outfit change. So in her mind, she heard that and was like, oh, I'm a part. They're inviting me. They really like me. But either way, this just kept getting worse, 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 and worse. I'm not understanding boundaries, not understanding being professional on a wedding day. There's no excuse for that behavior.
Not in any way, shape, or form. Anything that was done was not okay.
Yeah. Wow. That's terrible. I feel so bad for the bride. I'm glad they are doing their own photo shoot to hopefully recreate some of the photos and stuff, because
it's fun to do that anyways, because your style may change, or where you want to put the photos may want a different style, and you get to do something different and fun. And I think so many people only get professional photos, or not even professional photos. They only get photos done or take photos at their wedding day or at kids' birthday parties or something. And if you continue that, you get to see the progression of how you age and grow together and how your style changes. And it's all beautiful. You should want to do that together forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. The reminder to do more photo shoots. Cause I do feel like it's like you get engaged, you have your wedding, and then you kind of forget. I was just telling my husband, I'm like, since our daughter's been born, I'm like, we've not done professional family photos, and she's 2.5. We got to do those things. You have to actively remember to have someone take photos.
I was a very lucky child. My grandmother owned a photography studio when I was really young. And so I grew up with a camera in front of my face. And so now at big life events, of course, I think of a photographer, but even the small ones, right? So I think about at my son's first birthday, I made sure we had family photos, individual photos, and it was a big deal. And from here on out, I want every birthday we to get photos with him and individually together as well, because your family only stays that age for a little bit. And I want to see the progression of our life.
Yes. Yeah. And you blink and they're just like, I don't know, it's crazy how cool you get all those. I'm sure you feel the same way. It's just wild. I remember someone telling me when she was a newborn, they're like, don't blink, it goes so fast. And then I'm like, how is she a fully walking kid? I don't understand. And she can talk and have conversations. What?
I feel like it was yesterday that I was super excited that he was sitting up on his own. And now I have to Caden proof the entire house because he is like Tarzan and climbing up walls and trying to hang from the rafters. I'm like, dude, you need to chill a little bit. So I'm trying not to, you don't have 9 lives. I don't know if you know that, but you don't have 9 lives.
Yes. You want to encourage them to be grow and be adventurous, but also I want to kind of keep you in a little bubble because don't get hurt, please.
I think we cut his toenail short one time, too short where it bled a little bit. And I cried about it for 2 days.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm that mom. I'm going to allow him to do what he wants and be his own independent child, like you said, but please don't hurt yourself because it hurts me worse.
I know. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Doctor's visit, anything, my husband and I are weak. I'll get to the car and I just start crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, she was so brave at the doctor. But my God.
I do it every time.
Yeah. I like that she thinks I'm betraying her. But yeah.
Uh-huh.
I loved having you on. I feel like we had such good conversations. You have such a light to you. And I feel like you're so positive. And I felt like it was just great chatting with you and getting to know you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
For anyone listening, again, can you just tell everyone where they can follow you, anything fun and exciting you have coming up, and what you're kind of working on?
You can find me pretty much everywhere on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, I believe as well. I'm The Bailey Lavender, but I'm not under The Bailey Lavender on Facebook. Someone stole that identity from me and is faking multiple different accounts of that. So make sure if you are looking for my Facebook account, you go through my TikTok or Instagram and it will have the link there, because unfortunately people are awful. But I'm currently working on adding transformations to my schedule where I am trying to get to where be someone's foster stylist, right?
Okay.
And so I take someone, I fix their hair at a reasonable price, because unfortunately transformations sometimes are super expensive. and fix their hair for a reasonable price. I have them for 2 to 3 appointments. I learn about them. I get to know who they are, what kind of appointments they prefer, like quiet or talkative, or what that person is to their core and what they enjoy. And then I have a list of stylists around me in my area that I place them with. That's their forever stylist, right? And I tell them what I use on them, figure out like if that salon, if it's upbeat, put them with someone that's there. Or if they're needing something more secluded, a little bit more relaxing, put them somewhere that has like a suite where they're in there by themselves and they get to have a relaxing experience. And make sure that like everybody that's on my stylist list acts still also have the same kind of education as me. Any new education I'm going to, I'm making sure they know it so that they can also attend, and like making sure that I'm not just taking everything that comes my way and trying to profit from it, but also spreading the love. And I started doing this when I moved to Shelby, and I am loving it.
I love that. I've never heard of that, but it makes so much sense because I feel like the wide span of hair salons you can go to, they're just all so different. And everyone's different. So you'd be able to do that like guesswork for them and be like, yeah. You fit.
It's hard as a stylist. You have to be everything. You have to be marketing and PR, and you have to be booking and cleaning. And like, you have to do all of that on top of working your schedule as a stylist on your feet all day. Like, you're tired. And so a lot of them don't have the reach that I do. And some people struggle to find their perfect stylist. And so I get to just kind of like bridge the gap. I think it's so cool.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. I haven't heard of that before. And I feel like that's such a helpful tool for people to have. And it helps, I feel like helps them know themselves better too, a little bit. Yeah.
And also like they're not spending their whole life savings on fixing their hair. And then I get it to a maintainable color or cut or whatever it is, and then place them where they're just maintaining that, which is a lot more inexpensive than trying to do a huge transformation.
Right. Yeah. No, that's so cool. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Like I said, it was great chatting with you. I feel like we covered a lot of topics, and it was really great to meet you after seeing all your awesome content.
I appreciate that. It was wonderful talking to you today.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Hey Krista Innes for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.